right? You got to see it. I do. Anyway, when we got all these neat toys up on the ceiling, we got to use them every once in a while. Amen? Projectors. Acts 16:27. In the way you come to church, while you're turning there, in the way you come to church, a lot of times will dictate how you leave. Amen? Somebody said, I hope not. If you come expecting, if you come wanting something, if you come desiring a word, if you come, man, I need something, even when you don't feel like it, you'll probably leave here blessed. But if you come all the time on Wednesday night, Sunday night, oh man, I think we should take up an offering every time somebody says, I have to. Have a little jar up here. It's called the I Have To Jar. Oh, I'm sorry. Do you know there's cooking shows out there? You ever heard of those cooking shows? Cookbooks, right? Is that correct? Cooking shows, cookbooks. You will never find a show that's called How to Make Somebody Hungry. Now, you can watch one and you'll get hungry. But you'll never see a show about making somebody hungry. Here's how you get hungry. You just have to be hungry. Amen? And the hungrier you are, and the more you want of God, the more you get at Him, the more He gives you. Amen? Are y'all ready to get in the Word? Have you ever, let's just get into it. I'm just going to get into it. If you sit on the front row, praise God, I'll come see you in a minute. Acts 16:27. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoner had been fled. The prisoners. Verse 28, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Really neat scripture. We've probably heard this preached every which way but loose, but I turned it upside down. God started showing it to me in a different light, in a different way. Hey, y'all want to go to jail? Yeah, you do. Come on. Anybody want to go to jail? Let's go to jail. Come on. Let's go. Y'all ready? Y'all in the back? Ready to go? You're going anyway, so you might as well say yeah. Y'all want to go to jail? Shake your head and say yeah. Scott, tell them, yeah, we're going to jail. Let's go. Let's go. Y'all ready? Keith, you ready? Keith's got my back. All right, listen, we're going to jail. Third world jail, third world country. We're going in. We're opening the door. We're going down the steps. You don't like sound effects? I don't care. It's Wednesday night. It's okay. You dress casual. We'll preach casual. We're walking down the steps. Your nose is starting to catch the beautiful scents of a third world country prison. Amen? In a third world time, you're going to smell wounds, sickness, defecation. It's the best word I could think of. Oh, gosh. We shouldn't preach this, should we? Yeah, we will. No, do we keep going? Because it's dark in there. All it is, all they've got is, they've got little flames, torches, every once in a while, and it's so dark. And you got to hear the drip, 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 just water dripping. Because you know it's moldy, and you know it's dark, and you know, and you hear people just saying all kinds of stuff because it's prison. Are y'all with me? Are we walking in prison? And we come to cell block one, and we look in, and the guy's in there, he's a thief. I mean, not just your typical thief. He steals everything. We didn't stay at the first level, second level, third level. We went all the way to the fourth level, the deepest, darkest place in the prison. Y'all good? We walk here, the first cell we see is a thief. There's that guy. He stole everything. He steals from his boss. He steals from his wife. He steals from his church. He steals from people. He just steals to nobody. What it is, the lie is the devil keeps telling him, you ain't got that, and if you take that, then you can have that. But the devil lies to him like he lies to everybody who's a thief. You try to take what's not yours, and eventually you have nothing, and you're locked up in cell block one in our prison. Y'all cool with that? That's how it goes, ain't it? So, he needs help. Does he need Jesus? God, he needs Jesus more than anybody, right? Well, until you see cell block two, oh, there he is. He's a rapist. Oh, man. You know him, right? Oh, we don't talk about this. But rapist, it started out, he wasn't a rapist when he was little, when he was young. He was just his mother's favorite boy. And she worked two jobs, and she didn't have a husband, so he went to work. He left her, so she went to work, and he had to fill his time doing something. And he started spending times with some friends that were not supervised either, so they started reading certain kinds of magazines and watching certain kind of videos. I must be preaching to a crowd. Y'all are looking at me like, I don't know what you're talking about, but I guess I'll just preach to myself. Next thing you know, those things he used to watch and do behind closed doors got out into the street. And next thing you know, he did something. He tried to take what the devil had been showing him his whole life, and then he took it from him and put him in cell too. Have you seen a situation there where the devil keeps promising you all these things that you got to have, that the devil keeps promising you that you're going to love and you're going to get and you're going to receive, and you end up with nothing? Even if you don't end up in prison, you end up in pretty bad spots in life. Multiple relationships, multiple marriages, multiple divorces, multiple, right? Children broken up, homes split up. Golly, I didn't know it was Wednesday night. Let's go to cell block three. Did that guy need Jesus? He needed Jesus more than anybody, didn't he? Well, until you got to three, right? And then there's a murderer. I mean, this guy's a killer, and he's mean. I mean, as soon as you get to the door, he jumps on the door, and he's screaming at you, and he's wanting you, I want to kill you. What are you doing in here? He makes threats, and his threats are real because he's already killed somebody, so he don't mind killing you. Amen? He thought the answer to everything was, I'll finish this. I'm going to take it in my own hands. Well, he just had an anger problem starting out. And then the devil lied to him, said, you gotta finish it. Amen? Y'all good? God, I got y'all scared to death. We ain't left flat top yet. We're still sitting here. Oh God. Then all of a sudden they walk into cell block four. Hey, wait a minute, did that murderer need Jesus? Do murderers need Jesus? They really do. More than you think they do. They need Jesus. And they need somebody to go in there and minister to them, right? Man, and there's that guy. He needs Jesus. Well, we go to cell. Oh, God, I can't wait till we get to cell block four. This is nuts. You ready? Are you sure? She's like, no. We walk cell block four. We look in, and there's two guys that have been stripped down naked. And they're bleeding. And they're strapped down to the floor by chains. And they're preachers! Oh my goodness, what did you guys do? These other people, they're not chained to the floor. They're not stripped naked and they're not beaten. Well, what did you guys do? We're preachers. Some of us would love, I shouldn't say that, but God, preachers. And you look over and you see in the distance, you see a light, like a lamp, right? And a table, a room. And then there's a chair in there. And all of a sudden you're like, well, whose room is that? And you walk in there and it's the guard. He's got keys. He's got a sword. He's got a deputy badge. He's got a uniform. And he's sleeping soundly. I mean, oh, I didn't ask the question, did I? I ain't got my notes. I wrote a bunch of notes for this message. Didn't bring any of them. Guess what? We go back to cell block four. Do those guys need Jesus? They have him already. Good answer. But do they need him? Do you think Jesus might have sent them in the prison for those first three guys that we were talking about? The murderer, the rapist, and the thief? You know, Jesus sent them in there to minister to them, right? Oh. But that guy over there, his shift's going to end in about 3 hours. He's going to get up and go home. Everybody in there, thinks that guy's got it together, doesn't he? If we're all being honest, who would we want to be in this scene? If we're being honest, not spiritual. If we're being spiritual, we're all going to say Paul and Silas. I'm going to be spiritual. I'm going to be like Paul and Silas. You put me with Paul and Silas. Well, you know the end of the story. If you didn't know the end of the story, I want to be the guard. Because the guard's going to leave here tonight. No matter what, he's going to leave here. He's going to go home to his wife and his kids. He's got some authority. He's got it all together. And these people are locked up. And it don't look like they're going nowhere anytime soon. Oh, but are we wrong? You know what? I worked for a long time on this title, on this thing. And this is what we got. I can't believe they need saving. You know what I boiled it down to about 30 minutes before this message? You? No. That's it. Sorry, Kyle. I called Kyle on Monday or Tuesday when I first started working on this. Said, you better have this together for me, brother. And I, at the end of it, I always say, please. Right? But by the time I got up here, all I wanted the title to be was, you? You need Jesus? Let me do it this way, because let's get out of prison for a little while. Can we get out of prison? Let's get out of prison. Can I talk to you women for a little bit, women? You know who. Y'all ever heard of that Proverbs 31 woman? Have you ever met her? Don't look at me directly, and I won't look at you. I have. Right? Some of you in here go, I have. Have you ever met a girl she got a perfect hair, right? Every time you see her, goes, oh, her hair's perfect. My hair's not perfect. Have you ever, oh, she's so pretty. I'm not so pretty. She's tall. She's lean. She works out. She cooks. She cleans. Oh, my goodness. Come on. Every once in a while, just pretend and say amen every once in a while. Every once in a while. I know y'all, you women, I know y'all never worry about that stuff. She's got it all together. She's got it all together. She seems like she's got it all together. Her kids act perfect. They're just so neat. They're so perfect. They got it. Ain't it amazing when we can look at somebody and what they think, we think that they got it all together. They're going to be all right. God's working in their life. They ain't got no issues. Oh, God, I'm going to be real. I'm too short. I'm too fat. I'm too skinny. Hair too long. Hair too short. I can't cook too much. Goodness gracious. I'm going to keep preaching until some of y'all act like I know what I'm talking about. You meet that Proverbs 31 woman, she's staying up late at night, she's crocheting. You met her, she crocheted you a blanket. And then she built her husband some kind of material to work with. And she done it by the nighttime. When she got up in the morning, she cleaned her house and fed her kids and then schooled them. And they're like, wow, it's 10 and I ain't even got up yet. It would be good if you could wade to the washer and dryer. You got two choices. You got that choice. You pick the clothes up, and they're not clean enough to go in the closet. They're not dirty enough to go in the laundry. There's that chair, right? Everybody's got that chair, don't they? Good spot for you. I will wear you again. Some of you women say, amen. You know what I'm talking about. If somebody, here's my favorite one. I'm not going to say another word about it. Here's my favorite one, though. Women do this. If somebody's going to come over, we got to straighten the whole house up like mad people, right? Get it all, put it away. Lock the door. Clean that. Nobody goes in there. Amen? Y'all good? Now I'm finally got you on my side. Oh, it's my favorite saying. This is the biggest lie that's ever been told in the history of man, and it gets repeated on a regular basis. We're all sleep-deprived, hungry, starving, and living in a spotless house that's not normally spotless, and people get there, and somebody says, wow, your house looks great. And you say, oh, it's not that great. We've not even spent, it's kind of dirty. How do y'all say? I don't know. No.
If you only knew, right? Yeah. Oh, it didn't take. It's still a little dirty. We thought y'all were coming over, so we straightened some things up. Right? Oh, come on, man. Y'all be. You ever meet somebody? Hair's always perfect. They look good. Oh, they doing everything all right. Guess what? They need Jesus too. They need Jesus more than you do sometimes. Sometimes people that look like on the outside, like I got it all together, on the inside, they're a hot mess. They're a mess. And what they do a lot of times, especially in the church room, what we do is we put out like everything's good, everything's good, everything's good, and we don't ever let anybody see that we're broken or hurt. And guess what? People want to be us, but if they ever had to be us, they would end up wanting to kill themselves quick. Oh, gosh. Did I say that out loud? Oh, guys, we're not even better. Oh, look at him, man. He's got the best job. Look at his wife's pretty. Look at him, man. He's fit. He's got good hair. I got no hair. He's got a good truck. I got a Pinto. Man. Golly, look at his truck. His truck, he got no dents in it, right? Man, he's got that good, got me all that money. God, hey, he's got it all. Look, he's got a good house. I live in an apartment. Man, his kids even better than mine. Everything. We compare ourselves. If you ever met that, if you ever really got to know that guy, he's phony. He's fake. He don't even love his wife. Amen? I remember when I worked at the camp, I used to drive down 27 a lot, and we'd come down there, and we'd drive through this trailer park, and I probably told you this before, but the guys would always say, we'd drive through this one part of Graceful, right? Gosh, I didn't even say that because then I didn't know what Graceville was. But we drive through Graceville, and I was always amazed about Graceville because there's always somebody walking in Graceville, and I thought they named that town because somebody was always grazing in Graceville. I'm not saying they're, I'm just saying they were always, somebody's always walking. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, we'd go to the airport. No matter how late or not, there's somebody walking in Graceville all the time. God, never mind. Sorry. I just got caught up. But we pulled through there, and there's some trailers there. And some of the guys would go, man, look how terrible that little house is about to fall apart. And I always laugh. I'm like, yeah, you never know, though. The guy who lives in there, he might love his wife. He might work double shifts. They might have a good relationship. They might get at their table every night, and thank God that they live in that place. They might have lived in a worse place before that, but their family's together, and they would fight you. If you walked in there, that dude would kill you, and the kids would gnaw on your ankles, and the wife would stab you in the back. Come on. You know what I'm talking about, right? And they're all like, wow, I didn't ever think about it like that, Kevin. And we drove down the road. We drive down the road, and we get down further down 27. There's a pet store or some kind of livestock store or something right there on the left, right before you get into Sail Creek. There's this big house. It's got this thing. It's round, and they're all, everyone, look at that. Look at that house. And I'd always say, you don't know what kind of guy lives in there. I mean, his wife might not like him, and he might not like his wife. He might sleep in this one side of the house, and she might sleep on the other end. They might not even see each other. And their kids might be just hate them. They might even be plotting right now to kill them both. Come, man, you can't preach like this anywhere else. Everybody's laughing at me. But, you know, later on I found out that place it's got a basketball court in it from the Celtics. And guess what? I don't know the whole story, but I know what? Everything wasn't good going on there. I'm not saying I'm prophetic. I'm just saying don't look on the outside of everybody's situation and think, man, she's got it going on, or he's got it going on. If you knew the truth, they're probably just one step away from doing themselves in because they're hurting so bad. And when it goes down, you're like, you? Right? I wish the teenagers were in here. I wanted them in here so bad I thought about asking them to come. So you tell them to listen to this message. Because a lot of times, I remember when I was a teenager, when I was a young kid, I remember I used to look around the classrooms and different times at school, and I used to look at kids and I would think, man, they got the perfect life. See, my dad, he left us. They left early, and my mom worked double shifts, and I was all alone, and I'd done a lot of stuff, and I got into a lot of trouble, but I kept thinking to everybody, I said, man, if I had that kid's dad, if I had that kid's family, then I'd be a better kid. No, come on, I'm gonna, yeah, y'all won't let me preach because I guess you just won't hear it. But I remember going to basketball games and looking around for my mom or dad and they weren't there. And I remember walking out right before in high school, my freshman, my senior year. I remember going, and my mom was working, my dad was doing something else. And I remember coming out, and all the other kids, my dad's here, he makes me wear this kind of shoes. And my dad, he makes me do this. And my mom, they make me do this. And I was sitting back there going, man, I wish I just had somebody here that would just say, man, you did pretty good. I'm just preaching to you. And that was way back then, and I used to look and compare myself to other kids and other teenagers and think, they've got a better life. They don't. They don't have a better life. They don't have a better opportunity. You don't know their situation. When they leave there, they might be miserable. They might be hurting. But you know what I did have since I've been 8 years old? And I'm just telling you this. Since I was 8 years old, I've known in my heart, my life, that God wanted something out of my life. I've known it since I was eight. And every time stuff got real bad, I knew God was wanting to do something in my life. Now, it took me a long time to surrender to it, but when I did, guess what God reminded me? Your mess was making you. I was making you through that mess. Amen? And a lot of times I wanted to trade places with other people because I looked at them and I thought they had everything that I wanted, but everything I needed was in Christ Jesus. That's what I needed. That's what I wanted, but I didn't know it. But don't we do that? We do that in a church. We look at each other. And we think because we're going through something hard that somebody else has got it easy, or we're going through something hard and somebody else got it easy, we don't realize we all going through stuff. And we can't look to the outside of the cup. We got to know what's in here. Do you see this guy yet? Do you see him? He's in there. Even you, the guy that everybody would want to be, the jail guard. As soon as he thought the prison was empty, he took out his sword and he would have killed himself. I mean, he was about to kill himself. And you know what? Paul said, do yourself no harm. We're all still here. Man, is that crazy? Because, I mean, you think about it. Some of y'all are thinking, well, he was going to kill himself because he had been under authority. I agree whole with that. You know there's a lot of prisoners in there. If they hadn't committed suicide yet, their lives are a mess. Right? He was ready to give up. But you know what I believe? I believe the very moment Paul and Silas walked in the door, I believe the moment they got put in his charge. See, they beat him, and they put him in his charge. I bet the very moment, God, I'm preaching to somebody, the very moment they handed him over, hey, these men are your charge. All of a sudden, he knew they're here for me. Never mind. See, Paul prayed to go to Macedonia. Golly, Bob. Y'all remember that? He's in cell 4. Don't be surprised when you pray for God to use you in a mighty way. Don't be surprised if he puts you in cell block 4 in the worst prison ever. Holy, some of y'all need to hear that because sometimes we pray for stuff and want stuff so bad and all we can see is the good until we get in it. And then when we get in it, we see it ain't all good. But God's still all good. God, man, I wish I had about 3 people, Chris, say amen every once in a while. Is that not the truth? Oh, God, I just want to help somebody. I just want to bless somebody. I just want to get it. When you say that and God says, okay, I'll let you help somebody, come on in. Next thing you know, you're knee-deep in your mess and their mess too. I want to help you out of your mess. Good. I'm a thief. I'm a liar. I'm a robber. I got no money. I got no house. I got nothing. How are you going to help me, brother? Are you going to help me, sis? Oh, what I wanted to do is I wanted to come by and tell you a good encouraging word and something cool and listen and hit bump fist and get out of here. But it seems like it's going to take more work than that. Right? Silas is sitting in that prison because they prayed to get there. And when they prayed to get there, guess what? There's a man in there. Paul, Jesus said, go to Macedonia. There's a man over there. There's somebody over there that needs you with the gospel, and it's that prison guard. That prison guard is who was needing him. There were some other people in that city who needed him, but there was somebody who was down in the bottom who looked like, somebody said, it looked like they had it all together, but they didn't. Aren't you glad, God? I wish I could. Have you ever tried to pretend like you had it all together? I have. No. Better than that, I do. Hey, man, I do sometimes. I try to act sometimes like I got it all together. I'm completely in control. So I say, well, at least you're the pastor. Whatever. Hey, whatever. Hey, man, I'm a human being. Blood, sweat, tears. I got emotions like you. I got weaknesses. I got flaws. I got stuff just like you got. Every time I do something wrong, everyone goes, yeah, you're supposed to be a preacher. I know. Hey, man. Hey, have you ever heard that? I love that. It's one of my favorite sayings. He's supposed to be some kind of preacher. I love that. Oh, I love that guy. But he's supposed to be some kind of preacher. You're right. Some kind. I didn't want to be a preacher. I got to be. I don't want to be. I got to be. I ain't got no choice. I can't get out of this deal. I don't know about everybody else. They might be able to go sign up and do whatever they want to do. I can't go nowhere but where the Lord wants me to go. Not you, man. Not you. You look good. You got it all together. You're going home. In 3 hours, you're going home. Why kill yourself? You can go home in a couple hours. I can't go home with what's going on with me. All the doors were open. All the chains were off. And the only person that needs saving was the guy that didn't look like he needed saving. That's what I'm afraid of in our church. A lot of times, the people that need saving are the people who don't look like they need saving. We always expect a guy who comes in here who looks rough, talks rough, or hasn't ever been here. We think that's a guy who needs to be saved. And it's a lot of times the persons that are sitting in here with us who look like they're all right. The very moment Paul and Silas got put in his charge, they've been bugging him, man. Knocking him in his heart. Oh, I'm locked up. I'm just going to go there and go to bed. Wish they'd cut that singing out. You shut up in there. Well, the other guy's cursing. The thief down there, I don't know what he's doing. They're all kind of having much. All we're doing is have a prayer meeting. I know, but you need to shut up out there. What time, Silas, what time is it? It's got to be close to 12. Well, I believe in the Scriptures, joy cometh in the morning. And man, is that what it says in the Scriptures? Joy cometh in the morning. Well, guess what? It don't get no earlier in the morning than 12. Man, can I tell y'all a secret? Y'all promise you won't tell? Well, y'all tell everybody. Y'all, you know we open Christmas presents on Christmas Day? 12 a.m. Guess whose idea that was? You're looking at him. Man, I'm sitting in there, man, 11:58, I can't sleep. I'm sitting there going, man, I can hear Peyton in there talking. I just opened the door, bang, 12 o'clock. I said, you know what day it is? Peyton goes, it's Christmas, Dad. I said, you're right. We had to talk her into it, but she finally came along. Amen? Ain't that, listen, we didn't break any rules. Y'all are looking at me like I stole something. It said Christmas, it didn't say when. God. Man, 12, hey, midnight is the new day. It clicked, new day. Morning, joy cometh in the morning. Amen. We sorrow, we're broken till the new morning. We can worship God. They started worshiping God. And the foundation broke. And everybody could have went free, but nobody left. And this guy comes running in there. He's going to draw his sword. And then he comes in there and he falls down in front of them. Man, I wish y'all could get this in your mind. What must I do? What must I do to be saved? Amen? Can you see him? The thief, he taps the guy who's a rapist and go, him? That guy? The murderer taps the thief. Maybe the murderer looks at the preacher and says, that guy? I needed saving. They needed saving. We didn't think he needed it. He had a sword, a badge, the keys. He looked like he had it under control. Some of you look like you got it. Do you? You got it? What must I do to get saved? He says, call upon the name of the Lord. You shall be saved. You and your household. Amen? You and your household. You know what that guy did? He got saved. You know what he did? It said he took them down to his house. And his family got saved. But guess what? Some things happened to him. Now check this out. Before he was a wound maker. Then he become a wound taker. Or a cleaner of wounds. Now, ain't that cool? This is a guy who used to, if he didn't put the wounds on them, he at least didn't care they're there. When you get saved, sis, this is what happens. Before you get saved, you don't care if people get wounded. You don't care if you're the one who wounded them. But Scott, when you get saved, guess what? You don't only care about the ones that you wounded. If somebody's just wounded, you'll try to help clean it up. I bet that felt weird to him. Sitting in his living room, cleaning another man's wounds. Man, I hope you're okay. I hope you get well. I know God needs you. I know He needs you out there. You did a good job in my prison. He sent you to me. I know He's got other things for you to do. I hope there's some bacteria. Here's some stuff to make you well. Man, he's a wound taker. Then he makes them comfortable. And he takes care of them. And he takes care of them that night. And he puts them back in the prison and vouches for them. All of a sudden, instead of hurting people and putting them... Instead of putting people in bondages, he's setting people free. See, he used to be the jailer who bound people and kept them. Now he's a person who sets people free. I used to help people stay in their bondages too. Sin loves company. Amen? I know the saying's misery loves company. Sin loves company. That's why you see somebody who's on drugs gives drugs away. Amen? Because they love to be miserable. Amen?
You come stay at my place. Come on, man. Me and you, we'll hang out together.
It's even worse. Come on, let's get married together. Whoa, whoa. Never mind. I'm sorry. You're used to slapping the cuffs on people and putting them in bondage. But when you get saved, you're the one who's trying to get them. You're trying to get the keys to get them out, to get them healed up, to get them going again. Amen? This guy's amazing, ain't he? He went from about dead to seeing himself saved and his whole family, his household. Amen? I always say this. Some people say, well, if you get the kids in church, you might get the mom and you might get the dad. Maybe. Maybe. Got to shoot for it, right? Got to try. If you get the mom, you probably maybe get the kids. Maybe. You get the dad, you're probably going to get them all. Amen? If daddy gets up on Sunday and goes to church, more than likely, everybody's going. Amen? Honey, let's go. Come on, let's go. If the wife's, come on. No, you move on. Kids, you better get ready. Right? If dad gets up. I remember when my dad got saved. 36 years old. I remember it like it's yesterday. The next Sunday. Get up, boys. We're going to church. What is this all about? Right? But what I don't want to get rid of you, you'll be wearing a whooping. All right then, as long as we got that straight now. Right? As long as we got that straight now, we'll be down there on Sunday. Right? I love this message, don't you? Ain't this us? We look at people sometimes, we think they got it all together. We think they are perfect. We think, man, I'd like to be them. When in the inside, if it all came down, they'd want to be you. Or they just want to be saved. They want to be changed. Let's all stand as I come get a song.